Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit in this fall sermon series. And hopefully by the time we're done, next week will be the last of the fruits, and then I'll kind of summarize it with what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? There's a lot of funny stuff out there. And I don't think it's just, woo, I think it's something more than that. So together, let's recite these two verses, and hopefully memorize them in the process. Paul says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to be marked by these fruits of the Holy Spirit. We want the Spirit to have full access into our lives. And so, Lord, as we attend to your word this morning, we pray, as we always pray, that you would give us spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning, again, through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all of this only and always in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So again, continuing our fall sermon series, Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, Paul is writing this. If you look at his other letters, he talks about these things in different ways. By way of very quick review, because I think this is helpful, first fruit of the Spirit is what? Always love, right? Love in the Christian sense is not about feelings. It's about willing or desiring the good of another person, with no kickbacks, right? We've heard testimonies about that, whether that be OCC or loving on a little child yet to be born or helping a homeless man dying of cancer. I mean, this could take any number of forms, and it is so good. Second fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy, right? Joy is far deeper than happiness. That's based on happenstance, or, you know, is something happening good, or that's not happy. Joy is something deep in our hearts, and we can have that even if we're not necessarily happy at the moment, and that's a good thing. Third fruit of the Spirit, anyone? Peace, right? We understood biblical peace is not just an absence of war. Oh, I hope they stop fighting in the Gaza. Well, eventually they will, and then they'll start doing it again, right? Not to be negative, but peace is not the absence of war. It's the abiding peace, the shalom of God in our lives, his wholesome well-being. Fourth fruit of the Spirit, forbearance, or the old patience. Ooh, be careful about praying for patience, right? Right? You know how God gives you the patience? You go through some trials, right? But here's the thing about patient forbearance. When it's practiced over time in your life, and this is not liked in our society, because we want everything now. We're comfort culture, give it to me now, whatever the form is. Experience and go through patient forbearance, then it produces a long-suffering resilience. And boy, we need resilience in our society, don't we? It's being chipped away by our comforts. Fifth fruit of the Spirit is kindness, right? Now, kindness at its core is a number of things, but in a biblical sense, kindness is merciful, it is loving, and it is generous. You will hear stories of generosity throughout our church, because our God is radically generous, isn't he? You cannot outgive God because he's so kind. Sixth fruit of the Spirit is what? Goodness, right? Remember Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, you know, the measure in which you give goodness to other people is the measure that God will use for you in your life. And then last week we looked at the seventh fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness, yes. Faithfulness, it has nothing to do with intellectual belief or assent. I guess I believe in God. That won't save you. It won't. James says this very clearly in James 2. He said, oh, you believe in God like that? Well, good. So do the demons, and they shudder. And they're not going to be saved, thankfully, right? It's not intellectual assent. In the Bible sense, a biblical sense of faithfulness, it is trust. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have the complete map. We're Americans. We want to be in control of everything. I'm sorry. Control is an illusion, especially as you get older, right? I don't control very much. But do we trust Jesus Christ? And so this morning, we're looking at the eighth fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. How do we acquire a truly biblical gentleness in our lives? Well, again, so much has happened in our lives as a people, as a society in the last few years. And life is very different post-pandemic, isn't it? And if we've noticed anything, have you noticed aggression levels post-pandemic have gone up? It's so us versus them, and we just don't have to do that. But, you know, as Mother Teresa said, you know, peace begins at the home. It begins at home. Kind of like the time when a man's wife was very ill, slipping in and out of coma for several months, but he was faithful. He stayed by her bedside every single day. And on the day that his dear wife passed, she motioned for her husband to come nearer. And he sat by her, and her eyes were filled with tears, and she whispered, "You know what?" She said this, "When I got fired, you supported me. When my business failed, you were there. When I got pneumonia, you were by my side. When we lost our house, you stayed right here. When my health began to fail, you were by my side." And you know what? And he said ever so gently, he said, "What, my dear?" He was smiling. He was warm in his heart. She cried this, "I think you're bad luck." You can curse people from the grave. That's terrible. You know, when we started this church almost 7 years ago, and everybody said we couldn't do it, and God did, right? We sought to be from the very onset, a gentle body of believers. Because many of you, just curious, how many of you have come from unduly harsh and difficult church backgrounds? Oh, we are a church of recovery. I see. Yes. Okay. You know, many of us have experienced Christian leaders who, instead of encouraging, feeding, and protecting the sheep, have experienced the exact opposite instead. Right? Paul addresses this with the early Corinthian believers, 1 Corinthians 4:21. He said, "What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come to you in love and with a what? Gentle spirit." That's why from a leadership perspective here, we've constantly been reminded of Jesus' words, Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man came not to be what? Served, but to what? Serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is Christian leadership, right? No one leads at Mosaic unless they serve, and they are committed absolutely to serve, Matthew 25, the least of these. That is completely opposite from what the world says, right? So if you have a servant heart, then you're free to lead. But if it's about you, which is a pretty tiny, small story, I mean, no, nothing, right? So where do we go to find this gentleness that we need to live truly healthy and holy lives in a world that is so incredibly harsh and aggressive? Well, we always have to go to the Bible first and foremost. What does it say regarding gentleness? Now, the Bible does talk a bit about gentleness, about 25 different occurrences in the scriptures. In the Old Testament Hebrew, it's an interesting word, anva, which also implies meekness. Now, this idea of meekness has been destroyed by the world, right? Remember this, absolutely clear. Biblical gentleness and meekness has nothing to do with worldly weakness. Right? That's what the world says. That's not what the Bible says, right? If you walk away with just one point this morning, I hope it is this. Meekness is not weakness. It is what? Strength under control. Or as a martial artist, I might say, martial arts is the gentle art of folding clothes while people are still in them. You know, biblical gentleness and meekness is not weakness. Again, it's strength under control. Now, if you look at the Old Testament book of wisdom, Proverbs, case in point, in the area of our human relationships, Proverbs 15:1 says this, And it's the title of that book, if you want to follow up, and it's in the literature rack. A gentle answer turns away anger, wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, when people are just poking at you, and you just want to give it to them, hold on, hold on. Love them in Jesus' name, right? And then also, Proverbs 25:15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. If you know anything about gentleness, people will walk right into situations. They will hang themselves. It's pretty funny. And then as a Christian, you can let them hang there for a while. And when they start turning purple, cut them down, because that's a Christian thing to do. They probably learned their lesson. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Okay, it's all cool, man. I forgive you. It's good. And they might not do it again. How about that? That is biblical gentleness, actually. Right? Now, the New Testament Greek word praus is for gentleness. Again, similar to the Old Testament, meekness. We want to recover this word in a biblical sense. And like many other fruits of the Spirit, they have aspects, right? Biblical gentleness can also imply calmness, kindness, and softness. Again, in a biblical sense, softness is not what the world says. Doesn't imply weakness. It's a kind of fluidity and adaptiveness, right? Have you ever seen the news clips of hurricanes going through the Caribbean and Florida and all that? Have you ever watched the palm trees? You know why palm trees survive? It's the really strong, tough trees, like the oaks, that if they get hit with a windstorm or a hurricane, they snap, right? But what do the palm trees do? They sway, right? This is not weakness. This is biblical meekness, right? And they live to see another day. That's like in your own life. You just want to fly off the handle and all that stuff. Don't. One, it won't serve you, and it'll just destroy stuff. You know, don't spend your time burning bridges. You might need to walk away from a bridge once in a while. I get that. But don't go burning them down, right? Just as humor is an important pillar of joy, so biblical gentleness implies these important ideas. How about this? Friendliness, welcoming people, and being pleasant. And I don't just mean like, I mean, be pleasant, right? Mother Teresa says, be kind. Everybody's struggling with something, right? One thing or another. Gentleness is written all over the pages of the New Testament. Think about Paul's teaching. He loves to talk about this, right, to early believers in Jesus. Here's a few. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. If you have any relationships in your life, here it is, right? Some days are better than others. I get it. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This will serve you so well. And Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Right? What a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. It's like St. Francis said, how do you hate St. Francis? He was just chill. He was gentle, right? He said, at all times and all places, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and use words if you must. Your gentleness will be a witness to the unbelievers, right? Right? Make no bones about it. Biblical gentleness is not just a fruit of the Spirit. It's a command of God. Are we clear about that? Well, it's just not me. Well, too bad. Get under authority. Gentleness, meekness, strength under control. Right? People fly off the handle every day. You know, we've talked about this before, but angry people, I know it's scary, especially if they're big dudes and that kind of stuff. They're just scary, screaming. That's not strength. That's weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Besides, if they're yelling or whatever, it's going to pass like a storm. You just stand there and be pleasant, gentle, right? Mm-hmm. Well, don't do that. That'll just enrage them. It'll be around two. I sometimes do that because I'm a child. But just wait for it to pass, and pretty soon they'll expend themselves, and then you can say something kind and gentle, even if they don't deserve it, because biblical kindness is in effect. Kind of like the time when a woman wanted to take a well-earned vacation. She asked her brother to watch her cat while she was away on the second day of vacation, because she's, you know, kind of a woman in charge. She called him to see how things were going, and he told her bluntly that her cat died. The woman went ballistic on him, said, you cannot tell someone such bad news so bluntly. You should break, you really love it when people tell you what you should do. You should break the news to them very gently as she's screaming. On the first call, you should have said, Fluffy was stuck on the roof and couldn't get down. On my second call, you should have said, Fluffy fell from the roof, but the vet thought that he'll be okay. And on my third call, you should have said, Fluffy died from complications. And then she angrily and rudely hung up the phone. Remember when we actually had phones? No, it's just, there was something satisfying about being able to do that. You know, you're a child, I know. And on the following day, because she couldn't help herself, she called her brother to see how things were, and he got the message, to which he replied this, well, Grandma is stuck on the roof and can't get down. What you said you wanted me to do. Where do we go when we lack gentleness in our life? Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am what? Gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, right? He's not going to promise you something he can't deliver on, amen? Ugh. Couldn't we easily say the Bible is filled with countless examples of gentleness, the gentleness of God? And if real love is not about feelings, don't get me wrong, feelings are nice, but they come and go. You can't live your life on that or have any solid relationship, right? But rather, classic definition, love is willing, desiring the good of another with no kickbacks, right? We've talked about examples of that today as well, right? If your life is all about you, which would be really boring and small, you can't grow in gentleness, right? You're just gonna fly off the handle like an idiot and just embarrass yourself and waste people's time, right? Again, biblical gentle meekness is not weakness. It's marked by calmness, kindness, flexibility, and a friendly pleasantness. Ooh, Americans, we don't like silence, do we? Oh. I used to do this, and then I realized it probably wasn't kind. With my students in Chicago as a prof, I would sometimes just stop and just go up front and just look at them and go. Just being calm. People get nervous, don't they? They're not sure what to do. Can you please hurry up? And we got to eat soon too, Jim. Can you wrap this thing up? You know? Yes, I can. Biblical meekness is not weakness. A friendly pleasantness. Who doesn't want to be around pleasant people? I didn't mean agreeable, right? I mean, that's not bad, but you know, it's a different thing. Like kind of like kindness versus niceness. Very different. As it turns out, Paul puts gentleness as the eighth fruit of the Spirit for a good reason. Without a biblical love, without a biblical joy, without a biblical peace or patience or generosity or goodness, apart from biblical faithfulness, there won't be any biblical gentleness in our lives. This is advanced stuff, people. Well, I'm just a gentle person. You don't get to be gentle, you know, on the onset. Right? It's a spiritual fruit that is grown. It's a mark of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Remember, the loveless, the joyless, the impatient, the unkind, the wicked, the faithless, and harsh individuals, they're out there and they love to steal your joy, don't they? Oh, some people live for it. Oh, so-and-so is being kind of calm. Let me bring some hell and high water in their life, because that'll give my life meaning. You know these people, right? I'm not, he's crazy. No, you know these people. Do you want your life to be immersed in the gentleness of God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And people, they'll provoke you. It's kind of funny, right? Kind of like the time when a Sunday school teacher caught one of her students making faces at a child, little boy, at a little girl, upsetting her, obviously. And she decided, she said, Johnny, when I was a little girl, I was told, did you hear this? If I make ugly faces at someone, my face would freeze. But little Johnny, looking up from his Bible lessons, didn't miss a beat, and he said, "Well, well, Mrs. Jones, you can't say that you weren't warned." Anybody grow up with nuns? Any Catholics in the house? Do you want more gentleness in your life in this fall season? I bet you do. Biblical gentleness, that is, right? It's really simple. The more you spend time with our gentle Jesus, the more that will invade your life. Don't you want, you gotta marinate in this stuff, right? The less you want of that, the less of Jesus you want, because you're just busy and acting all crazy and whatnot, the less gentleness you'll experience. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and the choice is yours. Well, you don't understand the people in my life. They make me crazy. Well, I got a few of those. I'm in ministry, you know? I didn't ask for it. That's not very gentle. Okay, potluck's coming. Gentleness is not a tricky, slippery subject in the Bible, right? And so as I've tried to do with this series is a few takeaway points to recover biblical gentleness as we continue on in our lives and in this fall season, right? Biblical gentleness, it is built. It is an advanced sort of fruit. Right? It's built on the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, right? This is not, this isn't just being nice or not saying something to that guy who just driving you nuts or that woman who's catty or something like that. No, this goes far deeper. Biblical gentleness, number two, can be translated as meekness, but again, meekness is not what? Weakness, it is strength under control. We'll walk away with that one. And finally, thirdly, biblical gentleness or meekness is a scriptural command. It's not a suggestion. You know, be gentle if you can. You're commanded to. And you know, sometimes it's okay to bite your tongue. Ooh, mama used to say that, bite your tongue. After you do that a few times, it gets easier, by the way. That doesn't mean you're a pushover. Mm-mm. Biblical meekness is strength under control. It is marked by calmness, kindness, like the palm tree in the hurricane. Flexibility. You want to be strong but flexible in this life. Amen? I'm going to be tough. Yeah, be tough, but be flexible too. And a friendly pleasantness. I love this church because there is a friendly pleasantness about it, isn't it? Amen? I love this. Always doing funny stuff. God's working. I never know why I walk in this place. I wonder what God's doing today. I can't wait. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the teaching on biblical fruits of the Spirit. We desire to grow in these, Lord. And Lord, this is your discipleship program. I mean, we can come up with all kinds of interesting things and classes and four easy steps to whatever, but Lord, you call us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And when these are manifest in our lives, that means there's more of the Spirit of God in our lives. There's more of Jesus and less of us and the devil. And so we just thank you for these truths. We pray that we would grow in a truly biblical gentleness, in a meekness, because your meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control, and it's for our salvation. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we come to the communion table this morning, we thank you. This is the love feast of Jesus. And we just thank you that we can partake of it. And Lord, for the food that we're going to enjoy after service, there's so many good Thanksgiving items there. We have much to be grateful for. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. And we say, God bless everything you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.